Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
You've got 100 under your belt with me, too. Thanks for putting up with me for this long.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I don't know how you want to do this intro, so I'm just sending a whole bunch of shit for you to see what you like and don't like.
Okay.
I trust you.
Got it.
Always have, always will.
All right. I guess I'll sort through it and start by pushing this button right here.
Oh, God. She's not still crying, is she? 94, 95, 96... Oh, thank God. 97, 98, 99, 100. It's our 100th episode.
I need some champagne.
Somebody get me champagne. Have you seen the champagne?
Yes.
No. I need a glass of champagne.
100? Oh, my God.
That's a wow.
Welcome to our 100th episode of Big Lash Energy.
Wow.
Just
wow. That's a lot of episodes.
Episode 100.
100? Are you for real?
Welcome to 100.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to this fun and exciting episode of Big Lash Energy. I'm your host, Jaina Marie. Yep, you heard it right. Today is officially episode 100. Woo! If you've been with me since episode 1...
Thank you. You're a true OG.
I remember the day we first released Big Lash Energy. I got the notification that the first 3 episodes were live on Apple Podcasts, and...
I kind of lost my shit.
Not gonna lie. The best way to describe it would be like I just jumped off a cliff. I had no idea if I was gonna land on my feet or if my guts were gonna just splatter all over the pavement. But you are the reason it was a soft landing. You've made this feel like a safe space for me to be myself. I mean, last week's episode was the perfect example. I bawled my eyes out for a good solid 10 minutes. And was bombarded with DMs from very kind listeners telling me how much they appreciated my vulnerability and sending me encouragements. You've made it feel like a safe space to be myself, and I hope that I've been able to do the same in return. If you've joined recently, I'd love to recommend you start from episode 1. That one's heavy, it's bold, but it's everything I am and everything I stand for, the heartbeat of Big Lash Energy. Since that first episode, we've had all kinds of gems. We've covered everything from porn addiction
to motherhood,
sex advice for men, 7 ways to tell he's cheating,
hilarious date stories about fake billionaires and other weirdos,
celebrity run-ins, and makeup horror stories. The list goes on, and I don't want you to miss a single one.
Okay.
So stick with us, because today's episode is going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
I've invited a couple of special guests to come to this party, and they're going to talk about what some of their favorite episodes have been.
Okie dokie.
We're gonna take this walk down memory lane together. I guess you could consider this Big Lash Energy's greatest hit.
Yes!
So somebody get the bottle of champagne. Can you pop it for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Now it's time to raise a glass, because today's our 100th episode, and none of this would have been the same without your finance.
Now let's go.
Welcome to Big Lash Energy, dedicated to helping you navigate life's hurdles with your head held high. We're celebrating wins, learning from our losses, and laughing at ourselves along the way. Now here's your favorite hype woman, Jaina Marie.
Jaina Marie.
I can't believe you came back after the shit show that happened last week. Did I really do that? Did I really just cry on the microphone for 10 minutes straight?
Yep, I did.
It's funny because my mom told me that she bawled her eyes out when she heard it. She didn't know I was recording any of those phone conversations that we had. And she said she listened to the episode 3 times. And I was like, if it made you bawl your eyes out, why would you listen 3 times? She's crazy. I swear so many of our listeners love when I'm crying. I don't know. But I do have to say, thankfully, not crying anymore. I gave myself 24 hours to be a crybaby. And now I'm back and I'm better, bitches. And I'm ready to celebrate. Before we get started, I did want to mention a little story that kind of relates to what we just went through, coming off the heels of the Ambies and all those sorts of things. So Arzu, if you don't know, is a young lady who's living with me. She'd never played basketball before when she lived with her dad. He didn't let her play. And as soon as she moved in with me, I wanted to get her playing sports. So she joined a basketball team, except she was the only one on the team that hadn't been playing since eighth grade. She was new. She didn't necessarily know the rules yet. So, you know, she had a lot of catching up to do, and they weren't putting her on the court very much, but I would still come to watch every single game because I told her, you're on a team, whether you're playing or not, we got to be there cheering for the team. But every time we went, of course, it was with the hopes that she wouldn't spend the majority of the time sitting on the bench because she wanted as much time on the court as possible so she could get better and show me that, you know, she was playing. Well, anyways, one day she got put in the game and she's very excited, except as soon as she got on the court, only a couple seconds later, she got hit in the face with somebody's elbow. And after the game, she sat in my car and she's like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have a bruise. Like, it was horrible. I can't believe I got hit in the face. And I said, well, you can't get hit in the face when you're sitting on the bench. And it was kind of a profound thing by mistake. I didn't even mean to be that philosophical. But when you think about it, you don't get hit in the face when you're sitting on the bench. She wanted to get put in the game so bad. And as soon as she did, of course, she was running the chance of getting hurt. And that was me last week. I put myself in the game. I bet on myself. And I'm glad that I did. And in the process, I got hit in the face, but it's okay because I'd rather that than be sitting on the bench. So that being said, today's a new day. Onwards and upwards. Thank you for being there for me and thanks for coming back this week. It was a lot, not gonna lie, but I'm really glad I had you there with me. After recording that episode, I touched up my makeup, pulled myself together, and all I really wanted to do was go out dancing. So I messaged my friends that were there, but they were all on East Coast time, and so they'd gone to bed already. I didn't get to dance. I went to the after party, but everyone had already kind of left. So I ordered myself a margarita and some tacos, and I sat and ate all by myself. So needless to say, things didn't get better right away. Once I flew home, drove home in the Uber, pulled up, but Arzu had surprised me by filling our place with orange balloons, and she'd set out a beautiful layout of orange desserts and orange pop in champagne glasses, and she had dinner cooking ready for me, a beautiful spaghetti dinner when I walked in the door, and that was when things started to get better. So I do have to send her a big thank you for making me feel so loved and welcome, even though I didn't exactly feel like a winner.
Wah, wah.
The nomination, however, was a win, and 100 episodes is a win as well. Once I decided I was going to do a recap or a greatest hits episode, the very first person who came to mind was Ricky. If you're a regular listener, you know her as my ride or die, my business partner, the dog wrangler, and most importantly, BLE's first listener. She calls herself that because the first thing she does as soon as she wakes up every single Wednesday morning is hit play on Big Lash Energy. She's never missed a single episode, so of course, I had to ask her what her three favorite BLE moments would be, and her answer surprised me. So you watched the Ambies?
I did. Well, I mean, I didn't watch all of them because some of the... they're bad. I was like, oh, yeah. They're fast, though. I was like, 30 seconds. Okay, that's enough time to say thank you to everybody and get off the stage. Especially since you didn't win. If you won, I was like, 2 hours is a good acceptance speech. It's fine. Yeah.
We need to hear Jaina say thank you for it. It's a good
for
2 hours.
Everyone, yeah, exactly. But honestly, like, just the way the week went for you, now that I you know, got all filled in.
Yeah.
That was a good run. Like, you had, like, press before, and it was very much Oscars week for, like, a celebrity.
You know, it did feel like I was going all around doing the press. Now, looking back, I gave myself 24 hours to cry like a baby. I'm sure people were tuning in this week, like, oh, please, I hope she's not still crying. I cried for a straight 10 minutes last episode. But I gave myself 24 hours to be a crybaby. And then it was like, okay, put on your big girl pants, keep it moving kind of thing. But of course, I gained some perspective, which was, wait a second. There was a lot of celebrity podcasts that also didn't win. Like the Skinny Confidential, they make millions of dollars off of their podcast. They didn't win. I'm sure they're not crying about it because they're too busy making millions of dollars. Jay Shetty didn't win. Sanjay Gupta didn't win. Like,
totally.
Questlove didn't win. I'm like, okay, well, I'm in good company of people who didn't win. It was really sweet when I found out that you went and found the link and watched. Oh, yeah.
So there was no way I wasn't finding it. No, I had to know. I had to know.
You're staying very consistent to being the podcast's first listener. Your job on the show.
Yeah.
She's the most loyal listener, well, and the most loyal friend, honestly. So when we were coming up to 100 episodes and I wanted to talk about some of our memories looking back, I was like, I gotta ask Ricky, our most loyal listener, what your top three moments were.
My moments are maybe a little more behind the scenes backstage stuff.
Ooh, just, hot take, hot take. Yeah, I just like it.
You know, I get to be there for everything. So we'll start with the most recent, which being in Atlanta with you is just like so amazing. Just being able to promote the podcast, actually having this fully developed show to just go and tell people about it. It's just so special.
Ooh, hey, Jaina, I've got a clip of that.
And finally, the time had come. With only an hour left on the first day, Danessa Myrick suddenly came walking around the corner looking as electric as I thought she would. We shared the biggest hug and it was like meeting an old friend. Then, being the beautiful human that she is, she asked me, "What could I do for your show while I'm here?" And of course, I asked her to come sit down at the mic. Thank you for being here. I know you have this. I mean, we're at the makeup show. There is so much going on. Everybody wants a piece of you.
No, this is literally the best time.
But I wanted to let you know as a little thank you for coming on the show. I want you to have a BLE hoodie.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Okay, I want
it. We need
it.
You in
I
one. We need you in one. So I'm going to get you in a hoodie.
I would love to. That'd be amazing.
Yes. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the
this
hug.
This is so fun. Mwah. Mwah.
Oh, isn't she the best? That took us to the end of the first day. Now our feet were killing us, but we couldn't rest yet. We were invited to a VIP invite-only party at a photography studio to the stars. Not only has Derek Blanks shot A-listers like Usher and Nicki Minaj, but he's also the image consultant and photographer for Missy Elliott. I think it goes without saying that no matter how tired we were, it was a party that we had to be at. So after a quick 30-minute recharge in bed, we pulled our shit together, got dressed up, and went down to the party. You were so dedicated to the project.
Well, it was so easy. This is like an easy sell, and it's just like, I love talking about it. You know, promoting something that's, you know, not yourself is, you know, so much easier, and especially when it's something you love. It's, yeah, it's really easy to do. It really felt like a dream come true, both of our dreams, which is, I love being able to dream with you. It's so fun.
She's crying already.
Always.
I'll never be able to thank you enough for doing that. I love this. I really wasn't anticipating that you were going to do behind the scenes stuff. This is great. So what was your second best Big Lush Energy moment?
The second one is kind of an episode, but obviously the moment for me was, you know, having you officiate my wedding, but you had a little surprise for me and you had the whole day memorialized in, you know, the podcast form. It was... I loved it.
Aww.
So I guess that would be an episode, but I, you know, the actual moment of, you know, you officiating my wedding was probably.
So it was the behind the scenes plus the episode.
Plus the episode. Yeah. Like a little episode surprise. I didn't know it was coming. So like just listening to it the next week and like, oh my gosh, that's like the whole day. That was amazing.
All of the girls got ready together to a mix of country music and J-Lo.
It was perfect.
Once we were 1 hour out to the ceremony, that's when my nerves started to hit. I was shaking and overwhelmed with the weight of what I was being asked to do. I just really didn't want to disappoint them. So I took a walk down to the ceremony location. I looked over my notes and I breathed deeply. I told myself,
everything was going to be great.
Once the audience sat down, I told them all that I was going to need their participation in the ceremony. There was going to be one place where I wanted them all to yell, "Oh yeah," like Macho Man Randy Savage. He's Ryan's favorite. And once he put the ring on Ricky's finger, I wanted them to all sing out, "Hey Ricky, you're so fun, you're so fun, you blow my mind. Hey Ricky, hey Ricky." Everyone practiced it and it loosened them up and set the tone for a fun, playful ceremony. Ryan came down the aisle first and was instructed to stay facing me because Ricky's ride from the house to the ceremony was long and he'd be able to see her the whole time. So I wanted him to have a first look moment right at the end of the aisle. She pulled up in her ATV and the song changed to "Here Comes the Sun" by the Beatles, and everyone gasped once they saw her. She looked like sunshine on two legs. Her golden hair was piled up high on her head, which is her signature look. I always say that the only thing bigger than her hair is her heart. And her gown was almost an exact replica of the one that she tried on in Los Angeles, the one we talked about in the episode Drunk and Purseless in Los Angeles. Then, once her dress had been arranged and she was ready with a parent standing on either side, I said, "Ryan, please turn around and see our gorgeous bride for the first time." Everyone held their breath as he turned. It was a moment I'll never forget, and I felt extra blessed to have a front row seat to his reaction.
I don't think any other couple has their whole entire like wedding ceremony captured in a podcast form. I think it's so cool. Everyone has video and pictures and stuff, but do you have audio?
Do you have a podcast episode? Right. Yeah. And also, Tim did such a brilliant job of editing that. There's a scene in there when you were about to start walking down the aisle and he started playing that music. And I felt like I was there again listening to that episode. I had bought a recorder so that I could actually record the ceremony that I had written for you, and it just didn't work. So I was bummed that it didn't turn out how I wanted, but Tim killed it with his edit, and I think he saved the day.
It was everything I could have ever wanted. So
Well, you don't post like anything on your social media. You don't post photos and videos. So I feel like, selfishly, I'm happy that I have that, because I have a way of looking back on your wedding, even though we don't have photo albums to scroll through.
I know I should post some more photos, but
or something, anything. Yeah. Especially for how hot you are. Like, why are you not posting everywhere?
Oh my god, everyone, people sick of me.
No, never that. Okay, and then what's your number one favorite Big Lash Energy moment?
It is back when Big Lash Energy was just a little baby idea, and we flew down to LA and we did the first series of promo photo shoots for the podcast and our first Venice street interviews.
Oh, with the skate park.
With the skate park, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that was so much fun. And we even didn't even know what we're doing, and we just had a blast.
I had basically just come up with the name for the show. I'd submitted it for copyright purposes, and then we made our trip. We made it into an episode, Drunken Purseless in Los Angeles. I love that episode. But yeah, we were just wandering around the streets like, hey, one day we're gonna have a podcast, want to talk to us so we can get some audio bites? And that's when we were asking people if they'd ever faked orgasms before.
Yeah, that was my favorite day on our very crazy trip. Yes.
We need to do that again.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if we could ever recreate that. That was pretty wild.
I just love the on the street interviews, and I think lots of the listeners did too.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. Like, okay, let's say you have sex 10 times. Out of 10, how many times do you say you'd fake an orgasm?
I'm really glad.
You can be honest. I mean, we're not fucking, so.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
It's like 10 out of 10, man.
Yeah. It's 10 out of 10. Shit, what about you?
Solid 9.
Oh my.
Encouragement, it's fine. Like, there's a balance to how much of the fakey to the encourage.
Oh, because you don't want to fully reinforce bad behavior.
Exactly.
So you're like, you'll give them a little fake orgasm. Not an enthusiastic fake orgasm.
Yeah.
If you continually fake them, how do you expect the guy to learn?
He has to teach them.
Yeah, now we got equipment and, yeah, you know, a
we're
full
so much more
show.
Legit. We have an actual show now. Before, yeah, people were like, oh, you have a podcast? Where can we find it? We're like, it's not out yet. Can I follow you on Instagram? We have no followers.
No followers. There is a page, but you'll be our first follower.
We did. We got our first and second followers. The two ladies that we were talking about, the one girl said her boyfriend had never given her an orgasm before. She was our first follower ever.
Bless.
Bless. The skate park at Venice Beach was the perfect spot for that, because if you're standing around watching skateboarders, you don't have anything else to do. So you may as well be talking to us.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we weren't bold enough, though. I feel like now we would be so different.
Oh, my gosh. It would be, yeah. I would actually love to redo that. But
yeah, because then we were like, hi, my name is Jana. I'm Ricky. We have like, can we interrupt you? Now we'd be like, yo, you want
to be nominated podcast. You have to pay us to be on it. Okay.
The glow up has been real.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
there'll be a lineup to talk to us. Okay.
Someone just sent me a DM saying, I'd really think you guys should go on tour. And I was like, we're not that cool yet.
Yeah. Give us, well, you know, give, you need
2 years?
2 more months.
2 more years. I need 2 more years. I like your list. Okay, so I was thinking more along the lines of episodes.
Episodes?
Yeah. For okay. myself, I'm saying for my list, for my okay. three, was an episode called Look What the Podcast Dragged In. Mm-hmm. That was because the show was the reason I ended up finding out that my husband was cheating on me.
Ex.
Yeah, my ex-husband was cheating on me. But I didn't know. I had no idea until I released the show and got this DM from someone who listened to the show and realized, hey, I was fucking your husband. That was just wild to
that
me.
Was the first thing that happened because of the show. Yeah.
Because of the yeah. podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, I think that was just because it answered so many questions from my past, and I never expected that to come to the surface. So many things, because, you know, when he left, I was like, why? I don't understand. I thought I was doing everything I need to do. And then all of a sudden someone's like, oh, hey, just thought I'd let you know. And I was like, wait a second, what? Like, that was just wild. That was just so unexpected. And then I loved it. I just flipped it and reversed it and turned it into an episode. I felt so unloved. And when I told him I wanted us to spend more time together, he said,
and here I thought you were low maintenance.
Low maintenance? Was that the goal here? He had this car that he obsessed over. It was a Mustang Cobra with Lamborghini doors, a specialty paint job, little TV screens in the backs of the seats. It was, you know, one of those Pimp My Rides cars. He would polish it, clean it. He kept the scent perfect on the inside. Everything was pristine. That car was high maintenance. So what was I? Because I felt like I was a run-down, rusty jalopy with torn upholstery, bad brakes, and black smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe. He was giving me the lowest maintenance. His mom warned me that I shouldn't be letting him go to the clubs all the time.
He might cheat on you,
she said. And I said, I'm not his mom, and I trust him. Deep down inside, I wanted her to tell him that he should stay home from the clubs. I didn't think it should be my job. Of course, I wanted to tell him, but I wanted a man who wanted to spend time with me, not someone I strapped to the couch while he resented me all night long because of his extreme case of FOMO. And then I put a post on Facebook that was like, would anybody else like to come forward and let me know you're banging my husband because I got to get this episode written?
Yeah, I know. I totally remember that. No.
So that would be number three, I would say, because I can't make that the best one because it was an ouchie.
Yeah, but it was, definitely was like the first reaction from the podcast.
That was major.
Yeah.
Number two would be the episode, which actually was the episode that I was nominated for the Ambie for, which was Should I Be in My Feminine? Dating Advice for Independent Women. And I think because that was therapy for me. It was stuff that I really needed to say and that I really needed to get off my chest and something that I live regularly. So, and the feedback from other women who felt the same way to me was next level. That was really important. It was an important one to get off my chest.
The proof is in the pudding. It was nominated for an Emmy because like it was such a strong message and episode. So, yeah,
the end
totally.
Of it was the end of it was oof. Like it was that one was a 1-2 punch at the end. It's wild to think that the part of me that I'm the most proud of, that I've built up as my survival skill, is also the thing that might make me less attractive. No. I don't need a man. In fact, my track record has shown that I do much better when I'm living on my own. However, if you add value to my life, if you make me giggle, if you show me that you're sincere and you take a genuine interest in who I am, then I just might want you instead of need you. And that is a real compliment. One thing I know for sure is I'm not going to play small. I have freedoms that so many other women in this world don't have. I can work, I can wear pants, I can speak my mind, cut my hair, travel, live, learn, because the truth is I'm not afraid of being alone, and I'd rather live the rest of my life with my two French bulldogs than sit back and look pretty for someone who doesn't respect that I have so much more to offer than that. I also refuse to step back from my hustle or my grind because I have goals I'm trying to achieve for myself, and so far they have never let me down. What a woman like me needs is for a man to understand it's better if she chooses him because he adds to the quality of her life. Someone who helps her feel like it's a safe space to let her guard down. Someone who's consistent and patient with her while she learns it's okay to sit back and accept the love that's being given to her. I wish that instead of telling women to be more feminine, Instagram soundbites told men how to bring out the softer side of your warrior wife, because some of us have been fighting for so long, we just need someone to hold us, pull the gloves off our tightly clenched fists and say, relax.
It's over now.
I'd be fine to stay being a tough guy because it's all I've ever known. But when I take a second to really think about what it would feel like to be safe, to be able to take my armor off, or to trust that someone was really going to take care of me, of course it would be scary at first, but also a relief. I re-listened to it when we were choosing the episodes. I was like, dang, I wrote this. Like, I was really proud of the writing and I was proud of the message. And I think it's something that not a lot of people talk about, but it's really, really important.
And then I know like the feedback you got for that one was really like heartwarming.
Yeah.
Really special, because some women need to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. And lastly, I don't know why this is my favorite. I don't know why. It's one that I always tell people to listen to. And I think, I don't know. And it's the Faking Orgasms episode.
Classic.
That's the episode that I love to send to men because so many guys just think that no women have ever faked it with them. And then I just love that little kind of wave of insecurity that they get once they hear all the statistics.
They realize that, oh my God. And they're replaying every encounter ever.
Yes. I just feel like that was a conversation, something that also really needed to be said. And it's educational for sure.
Yeah. It was definitely top three on the list of how to start the podcast.
That was one of the first three episodes.
Yeah. We have to get this information out.
This needs to be said. Like as soon as I had a soapbox to stand on, I was like, we need to talk about faking orgasms, damn it.
Sex on web. Wedding night and faking orgasms now.
Muy importante. Muy importante.
Has a woman ever faked an orgasm with you before?
I think so. 100%.
Okay. And what would make you think that was a thing?
Because she was doing a whole lot of moaning before I was doing a whole lot of...
So she wasn't a very good actress is what you're saying.
Faking from the start.
Yeah. So I would say those are my three. I love that you're even sitting here in a Big Lush Energy hoodie as we speak.
You know what? Most of my wardrobe is Big Lash Energy hoodies now. So if you guys are wondering where they all went, I think it's in my closet.
You actually do have them all in your basement.
Well, that I do have all like the stock.
Yeah, that's right. That's another job that you've had for the show. You went and collected them from
Calgary. Oh, yes. The sweater getter. The
sweater getter.
My sister I like to say head of merch.
Yeah, the head of merch or the sweater getter. My sister was kind of keeping all my merch hostage in Calgary and Ricky made a trip to visit family in Calgary and was like, nah, fuck this. I'm going to go get your sweater.
No, they're not being held hostage anymore. We're getting them out. People need them. People have been asking.
So did you go in like a black balaclava, full black outfit?
Yeah,
like
we tinted the windows. We made sure we blacked out the license plate. We just rolled up. Ryan didn't even stop. I just like tucked and started throwing them in the car. Yeah.
You know what? Thanks for doing that for us. You're a true BLE bestie.
It was more of a gong show in the post office more than anything. So
when I went to pick up so Ricky went to my sister's house, confiscated the merch, and then went straight to the post office, which I should mention was only like a block away from her house.
700 meters.
So she could have very easily taken them herself. But anyways, that's beside the point. When I picked these hoodies up at the post office back in Vancouver, I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize it was three giant boxes. Like it was a lot.
Oh yeah, there was a ton of, but I'm glad we got them. We have them now.
They're all collecting dust somewhere. I really need to focus
all,
on
like,
selling
steamed
them.
And pressed and steamed ready and to pressed. Grow. They're actually all hanging up.
You're the best. You are the best. Thank you for being here and being such an incredible sport.
Oh, of course, every week.
I couldn't, truly couldn't and or wouldn't want to do it without you.
Aww, love you.
Jinx. Isn't she great? I've said it before and I'll say it again. Everybody needs a Ricky in their life. Okay, next up, I had to ask our Instagram followers because a lot of the BLE listeners like to stay in touch with me in my Instagram DMs. So I asked, what have your favorite Big Lash Energy moments been? And we had kind of the same three episodes repeated over and over again. So number three was the 50 Shades of Red trilogy. Yep, that one was a moment for sure. I remember going to wedding bookings and clients telling me they were sitting on the edge of their seats or they couldn't wait till the next week to find out what was going to happen next. I broke up this crazy story about my most epic heartbreak into three parts and everyone was just shook by what had happened. Communication between us was so dodgy at this time and my hormones were probably magnifying the problem. I'd go hours without hearing from him, which was frustrating because I knew that his phone was always in his hands. There was one night he didn't answer any of my text messages for 4 hours. So I went a little crazy, started searching through his Facebook and saw that he'd checked in at the movie theater. Then I checked B's page, his ex-girlfriend, and she had checked into a theater only 3 minutes later saying,
"Movie night with Bay."
I was livid. I called him out on it and he lost his mind. He goes,
"I swear you're obsessed with social media, Jaina. I don't know who she's at the movies with. I don't know who her bae is. Did you know that there are like 50 theaters in this city? Seriously, you're losing your mind. If this is how dramatic you're going to be, then maybe I should block you from my Facebook because I'm already stressed enough as it is right now. And the last thing I need is you out here accusing me of shit every single time I do something. I can't even go to the movies in peace."
I started to cry. I said, "I'm sorry. I just feel so tired and alone, and you're not being that good at getting back to me, so it was stressing me out." He goes,
"Would it make you feel better if you talked to her?"
And I said, "Yes, it would." So the next day, she messaged me. Finally, I was going to get some answers. If you like Dirty John or The Tinder Swindler, then that series is for you.
If you're curious, those are episodes 9, 10, and 11.
The second most popular response from our Instagram followers was, for better or for worse, almost killed her, otherwise known as the Sarah Trilogy.
Do you remember this one?
Episodes 50, 51, and 52.
Ooh.
The whole thing started with Sarah making an escape in a helicopter from a hospital in Las Vegas, and it just got crazier. The wind from the propellers blew her hair as she made her way across the landing pad in the dark. It was 2 in the morning, the time she was told it would be safe to make an escape. She pulled herself up into the helicopter feeling terrified, half dead, and clinging to a tiny thread of hope. She watched out the window as the helicopter lifted off in Las Vegas, slowly got farther and farther away. After one very needed deep breath, she thought of everything she'd been through. The maxed out credit cards, her empty bank accounts, and him. She did it all for him. A man she loved, but now had no idea who she was. Now, one of my favorite behind the scenes moments from our whole journey with Big Lash Energy was actually the party that we threw at Shannon Mann's house. There, I set up a little recording booth, and unfortunately, the mic wasn't working great, so we didn't get everybody's audio recorded very well. But Sarah actually made an appearance at the party, and this is what she recorded.
Hi, Jaina and BLE. I see this thing here, and it says, what makes me a BLE bestie? I have been listening to this incredible show since day one. I have been following Jaina Marie since I met her at my wedding, and I just feel like everything about this show represents everything I've ever hoped and dreamed of for women. So beyond sharing it with everybody that I know, including the men that I'm dating or have gone on dates with, I think I'm a BLE bestie because I just love the people that represent the show, including the followers and the fans. Can I sing the theme song? You probably don't want that. But what is my favorite BLE moment? I'm biased because I loved episode 50 to 52, which was about Sarah and Jason. I am Sarah, that is my secret. I'm here today just to say thank you to everybody who's been listening to the show and everybody who was so gracious and thoughtful and supportive in introducing themselves this evening at the party just to say hello, and it makes me feel so incredibly supported and seen. And thank you, Jaina Marie, so much for all the work that you do. I love you, and I can't wait to continue to see your success grow and expand. You're just doing amazing things. Thank you.
Last but not least, the most recommended episode by our Instagram listeners was the Arzu story.
The Arzu story.
And I don't blame you. Everything that's been going on with Arzu in my life has been progressing since I've had this podcast, and it kind of feels like you've been along for the journey. Of course, when I interviewed her for the show, she wasn't living with me yet, but we were talking about how much we wish we could live together, and now we are. Hell, maybe we spoke it into existence. Anyways, I wanted to ask her how she felt about being voted as the most popular episode. Arzu, welcome to the party.
Hi, guys.
I have some non-alcoholic champagne for you here if you'd like some.
Thank you.
Do people at school know that you're on Big Lash Energy? Does anybody know that you do this?
Actually, yes. Some people do. And I think 2 of my vice principals know too.
Are you serious?
Yeah. One of them came up to me and she's like, yeah, I listened to your episode. You know, I started crying, and I'm like, yeah, it's all that.
It's a little teary eyed, yeah, for sure.
Before I met Jaina, you know, I wouldn't really like care about what other people said, and just because like I've never really had that guardian in my life to tell me like to teach me right, I guess. Mm-hmm. So when I met Jaina and she would spoil me with all these gifts, and I would look at other kids and I'm like, and I would look at myself and I'd be like, damn, like, I remember I didn't have a pair of shoes to wear. And now, like, Jaina's, like, spoiling me with, like, 2-3 pairs of shoes, like, just for, like, one holiday, you know? Like, I remember for Christmas, she gave me, like, 2 pairs of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me 2 pairs of shoes, one of them that I've actually been wanting for a really long time. And then that's when I realized, like, you know, like, I'm really grateful to have someone like Jaina in my life, because, like, she's like a mom to me now, you know? It's happened. We made it happen. Yeah.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh, no. No, no, don't cry. Yeah.
Well, you're the closest thing that I have to a daughter.
Yeah.
And the closest thing that I have to family here, too. Because, you know, like, you live with your dad and your brothers, but, like, it's just me and my dogs. And you come over and you wash brushes with me. And you walk the dogs. And when you have problems, you come and talk to them with me. And you are, like, the closest thing I have to family here.
I do remember when I was a little munchkin.
On your scooter?
Uh-huh. I would, you know, hope to get adopted by you. But I think I'd prefer it to be as a sister, because I could just, you know, tell you everything. Because I know some moms out there don't really support their child for what I do nowadays. And I feel like you've been very supportive about what I do. And, you know, not really happy with what I do, but you give me, like, good advice. And you just put something bad that I do behind you and you just start a new page.
So we did that episode. We didn't live together.
Yeah.
So what do you think about living in a house with someone who's trying to release a podcast episode every week?
You literally don't sleep. You don't sleep, like, at all. She would probably take a nap for, like, 15 minutes and, like, last a whole day, maybe two, off, like, 15 minutes of sleep. And I'm like, it's good to know that I have someone to talk to at 5 in the morning if I need to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of time. People tell me to sleep more, and then I'm like, okay, so if I sleep more, then what am I not going to do that day? I'm just, what, not going to drive Arzu to school? Or am I not going to go to work? Or am I not going to record an episode? Nope, there's stuff that's got to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know if that's a surprise to people, though.
It was to me.
It was to you. I love that. Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for doing that episode with me. I think maybe you should come back and do another one sometime.
Oh, I most definitely will. We got some tea for you guys.
Yeah. Maybe Mother's Day.
Maybe. We'll see.
Thank you for the welcome home little mini party that you had for me when I didn't win at the Emmys.
You're welcome.
Love you.
Love you too.
Isn't she great? I'm so blessed to have her in my life. And I love that I've been able to share how our lives have come together with you. All right, I'm really excited for this next part because honestly, I asked him to be on the show and I thought he was going to say no, but I must have caught him in a good moment. We are going to chat with Tim. Big Lash Energy would not be the same without him. And let's be honest, this man has had to hear all the girl talk, bless his heart. It's always so cute when he sends me his final edit of each episode. It's always a link in an email, and then he'll often send his response to how he feels about what happened in the episode, and it always cracks me up. He sure knows a lot about my life for someone who's only ever met me once. Funny story about Tim. I remember the first time I heard the edit from one of our sex advice episodes, he'd edited himself making sex sounds that would go along with my fake moaning that I'd sent. And when I heard the edit, I was shook. It felt like we'd actually had sex and recorded it, but we'd never even met yet at that point.
Oh, he's going down on me. Okay, this is happening. Wait, did I shave? Oh, hopefully I'm fresh. Oh, well, he's in it now. Oh, does this mean I have to go down on him too after? Oh, okay, well, just don't think so much. Just try and enjoy. Oh, ow, what the fuck was that? Oh my god, please stop that. Oh. Great, I jolted my body, now he thinks I like it. Perfect.
Of course, he's very married to a very incredible woman. Hi, Val. But it just shows how good he is at what he does. So, Tim, I have to ask, what's been your favorite episode?
Ooh, I gotta pick just one.
That's like picking one of my babies.
Okay, so my pick is the Bill and Lisa episode. This is episode number 61. It was like a gangster espionage murder mystery wrapped up in one. I don't know which way this thing was going, which way it was turning. It had text, pics, suspicion, toilet seat torture. This couple, Bill and Lisa, were a piece of work and had me on the edge of my editing seat. It's called The Craziest Virtual Threesome of All Time, and it is.
The conversations between us were friendly and typically happened over Facebook Messenger, but the tone changed one night when I received a text from an unsaved long-distance phone number. It took me a minute to realize it was Lisa.
Hey, beautiful.
Hi.
I'm so excited I got a new SUV today.
Oh, that's great.
Want to see it?
Before I could even answer, I'd received a photo of her, and it took me by surprise because she was completely naked, legs spread wide open, leaning against the family vehicle that they had parked in their garage. Whoa, whoa. Looks like Lisa's a certified freak. Well, that went from 0 to 100 real quick. I can't say that's how I've ever announced that I got a new car, but it's definitely a good way to get someone's attention. Needless to say, I was shook. What was I supposed to do? I was trying to think of the right response when I received another text from a number with an area code I didn't recognize.
Did you see our new baby?
I assumed it was Bill. Wait, he knew that she sent me a naked picture? Okay, now this was just really confusing. I didn't know what to do, so I figured I'd ask my husband. I said, babe, I think you've got some pretty messed up friends. He goes, why? I said, look. And I showed him the messages. He laughed and said, yeah, I think they're into some kinky stuff. They're harmless. Don't make a big deal out of it. That's my business partner, okay? So brush it off. I didn't want to offend them, and I didn't want to upset my husband either, so I replied to both of their texts with a
nice wheels
and a heart eyes emoji.
And heads up, warning to the boys, guys might want to cross their legs when listening to this one.
Well, that was unexpected. That was a hilarious story. I just would have never guessed that that was one of his favorite moments. I love it. Okay, that was a lot of fun. I kind of love taking a trip down memory lane. I've forgotten about a lot of those episodes. It's been a wild ride, that's for sure. All right, now, since we're on our 100th episode and things are a little bit casual today, I thought it would be a great opportunity to answer the three most common questions I get asked almost every day. First, the one that I hear most often is,
how do you have the energy to do everything that you do?
Well, the answer is, I don't! I'm exhausted all the damn time. Like, I could literally sleep at any moment. Like, all I need is 30 seconds with my eyes closed and boom, she's out. Watch this. Okay, just watch. Watch. See? Told you. Number two, I always get asked how my exes feel about the fact that I've talked about them on the show. Well, I warned each of my main exes, like the ones I was going to be talking about the most, before I ever hit record. I called them and said that I would make them two promises. One, I would never use their real names, so the only people who really know who they actually are my very close friends and family. And secondly, I'll never tell a lie. I have receipts for everything that's ever happened, so if they have a problem with something that I've said, well then, they should have done better. Each of them said that they supported me, and I took screenshots of that just in case I needed them for future. But let's just be real. I don't think any of them anticipated that I would take it this seriously or that the show would do so well. But sorry, not sorry. I guess it sucks to suck. Last question I get asked at least once a week. Do you think you're ever going to run out of content? Well, the answer is absolutely not. The only thing I don't have enough of is time. If I could, I'd be releasing 2 or 3 episodes a week. I have so many ideas and stories up my sleeve, like the time I flew across the country to take someone's virginity, or my climb up Mount Kilimanjaro, and more stories of dates and makeup clients. Honey,
you're never going to get rid of me.
So stay tuned because I've got a lot of fun up my sleeve. Oh, and don't worry, I'm sure there will be some tears too, since some of you seem to really enjoy when I'm crying. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. You have no idea how much I appreciate you. And if you want to show me just how much you appreciate Big Lash Energy, could you pretty please leave a review on Apple or Spotify? It would help a lot.
Now, until next week,
episode 101,
please go be your most fabulous self. And don't forget to spread that badass Big Lash energy everywhere you go. Thanks again and happy 100.
Could you make me up right now?